So tonight we're going to talk about lesson number 94, and we finished the vocal gifts and the gifts of in our series of gifts of the Spirit, and now we're going to start on the revelation gifts. And the first revelation gift that we're going to discuss is the word of knowledge. Now the revelation gifts are the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and let's read our classic scripture on the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 says this: Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And if Paul doesn't want us ignorant, and it's written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that means God does not want us ignorant about his spiritual gifts. So he doesn't want us ignorant. So what he starts to do then is tell us what they are. And he starts in here, and he says in verse 4, Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but it's the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now, verse 7, But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. Now, that's the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit. It's to profit the body of Christ. Not God, the body of Christ. It's given to profit. It's not given for any other reason than to help us out. Okay, now, what are these manifestations of the Spirit? Well, we call them the gifts of the Spirit, and here they are. There's 9 of them. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another by the Spirit the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh the one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. It tells us quite a bit in here. For one thing, it says that these gifts are divided by the Spirit as he wills. In other words, it's not something that you set out to say, I want the gift of the word of wisdom. That's the one I want. And you just sort of make up your own mind. It says these gifts are given as the manifestation, as the Spirit wills in your life. Now, it's okay to covet to prophesy. It tells us to do that later on. And that's all right. But the thing is, these gifts are not manifested as we will, when we want to do it. Okay? In other words, if this gift is sometimes manifested through you, you don't all of a sudden decide, hey, I think I'll do it right now. No, this is as the Spirit wills, under the conditions that he prompts you to do it, not when you decide to do it. Okay? So that's one thing to keep in mind. Another thing to keep in mind is not any one person is going to have all these gifts. You might have more than one. This one person that we were kind of talking about in our homework before this that came to our church who was kind of a person that Marianne and I felt wasn't necessarily all...
Charlotte.
Well... That's kind of strong, but he taught on these that gifts, and he said, you can have them all. He says, go for all of them. He says, like, I have all these gifts. Well, it says right here, to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, to another, that doesn't sound to me like they're all the same person. It sounds like they're different people, you know, and in my experience also, that's what I've seen. One man will be used over and over, or a woman, in diverse tongues, and another person in interpretation of tongues mostly. Another person may use the gift of prophecy. And it usually sticks with, that's a gift that the Lord consistently manifests through these people as he wills, however, not when they decide to use it. And that's where sometimes we get an error. In fact, this particular person, I felt, was in error in that way because he tried to manifest the gifts when they weren't in operation by the Holy Spirit, and everything just got really messed up. It just wasn't of the Lord, and everybody knew it. Not everybody, but a lot of people did. And it just, you know, and I can understand, you know, he travels around and he wants these gifts in operation in his ministry. But if the Holy Spirit isn't manifesting something right then, you shouldn't try to do it on your own because that will open you up to deception by the enemy. He'll start to speak through you or he'll try to do something and then it gets all messed up. So tonight we're going to talk about, of these 9 gifts, we've talked about the vocal gifts. Gift of prophecy. We talked about the gift of diverse tongues and the gift of interpretation of tongues. Now we're going to talk about the first of the revelation gifts, and that's the word of knowledge, is the one I want to talk about tonight. Knowledge, the Greek word for knowledge is G-N-O-S-I-S, gnosis. Okay? And according to the Bible dictionary, it means a fact. Or sometimes it, in one place it's translated science. Another place it says it's a discovery of a truth that can't change. All right? Now, in our context here, it means something that knowledge, something that's already happened or is happening. You can't be changed. I mean, this is a fact. That's what the word of knowledge context is. And I'll define that in just a second. But think about something that a truth that cannot change. This is knowledge concerning a present or past event. Now, wisdom is the Greek word sophia, S-O-F-I-A. And the definition in the Bible for that is truth beyond what can be known by existing facts. For example, future events. In other words, you can have something that's true that hasn't yet been experienced in the past or in the present because God says it's going to happen. All right? That would be wisdom, a word of wisdom. Now let me define these two. The word of knowledge is supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit of certain facts that God knows about concerning the past or the present. And it's manifested as the Spirit wills. Now, let me say that again. The word of knowledge is supernatural. In other words, it's not natural knowledge. It's supernatural revelation of something that's true, done by the Holy Spirit, and it concerns certain facts that God knows about concerning the past or the present. Something that's happened, an event or circumstances happening in the past or the present. All right? The word of wisdom differs in the sense it's still supernatural and it's also revelation by the Holy Spirit, but instead of being of certain facts in the mind of God, it's a revelation of the divine purpose and plan of God and concerns the future. All right? And it's also manifested as the Spirit wills, not man. Now, I'm not going to get into the word of wisdom tonight, but I thought it might be good to define these two together so you could see the difference. The word of knowledge would be, for example, let's say some person stood up in front of a group and the Lord was manifesting the word of knowledge. It would be something concerning something in the past or the present that the Lord would show that man that would help minister to somebody. For example, it might be a couple years ago, you contracted this disease, and the Lord's telling me that tonight, if this person that has this malady would come forward, he's going to heal you right now, or something like that. That'd be a word of knowledge because it concerns something in the past or the present. However, if the Lord would say to this person, the Lord tells me that he's calling you to the ministry and that you will have a ministry that will be a traveling ministry or blah, 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 whatever that might be, that would be a word of wisdom because that hasn't happened yet. Okay? Now, these word of knowledge or word of wisdom can be manifested a variety of ways. It could be through a prophetic word. It could be through a vision. It could be through a dream. There's various ways. It could even be through an angel speaking. All these are Bible ways that's happened in the Bible. Okay, so I just wanted to clarify the difference between the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. I'm going to give you examples for all this stuff. I mean, in the Bible, I'm not just going to leave it with this. So we can, and I think when we're done, you'll see there is a difference. Now, when the word of knowledge comes, or the word of wisdom for that matter, it's only partial knowledge or partial wisdom. That's why it's called a word of knowledge. In other words, God doesn't say everything about the situation. He just says enough to minister or to do what he wants to do right now. You understand what I'm saying? It's a word of knowledge. He's not going to show this person that is manifested through everything about it that doesn't concern getting this person healed, getting this person headed in the right direction. However, it takes to profit this person. It will only be enough that the person needs to know. And that's why it's called a word. It's just a word of knowledge as opposed to everything about it. Okay? Just a word. It's just a few words that you'll get about a circumstances or an event. Now, the enemy has counterfeits of this kind of stuff, too. Sometimes you'll see it in operation at the county fair, something like that. Like somebody will say, that person over there, you're so-and-so, you're 35 years old, and in your right pocket you have a book of matches that says this on it or something. Every once in a while you run into these kind of people. And that's not of the Lord. That is a familiar spirit. Someone, and they're talked about in the Bible also, evil spirits also know about people. And they will try to counterfeit some of these gifts. But it will usually be for some dumb piece of knowledge that isn't really profiting the person so much. It's just more of a showstopper. Oh, wow, how do you do that? You know, tracks attention to the person doing it rather to the Lord who's ministering. And it doesn't, and I gave you an example last week of how the enemy worked through this one so-called healer to heal this boy, only to draw them deeper into bondage. And you remember that thing. And see, that wasn't a valid working of the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom. That was an occult manifestation. Okay, so what have we learned so far? Word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit of certain facts in the mind of God that we wouldn't ordinarily know concerning the past or present. Word of wisdom differs, and it's also supernatural revelation of the Holy Spirit, but this time instead of a certain facts in the mind of God, it's of the divine purpose and plan of God so that you can see what He wants to do in the future here. And it's only a word, just partial knowledge or partial wisdom. What needs to be known right now to help this person? All right? Now, let's turn to John chapter 14, and we'll look very quickly at what the Holy Spirit normally, how He operates. I think sometimes if we know how the Holy Spirit operates, it's a little easier to understand some of these things, and it's also easier not to get an error. John chapter 14, verse 26, and Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit, and He says this, "When the Holy Spirit, or the Comforter, comes, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, here's what He'll do. He shall teach you all things, and He will bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you." Now turn to John chapter 16 and look at verse 13. There's some more things the Holy Spirit will do. "When the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all" what?
Truth.
"Truth." Whatever He says will be absolute truth. "For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will also show you things to come." Things to come would be like the word of wisdom. Something that hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen in the future. It says right here, the Holy Spirit will do that. That would be an example of the word of wisdom. All right, guiding you into all truth, showing you anything about the past or the present would be the word of knowledge. All right, now what does He get this information from the Holy Spirit? Well, it's obvious, but let's read what it says in verse 14. "The Holy Spirit," Jesus said, "shall glorify Me. He shall receive from Me or of Mine, and then show it unto you." In other words, the progression is this. It comes from the Lord first, through the Holy Spirit, to your spirit. Then, if it's a word of knowledge, it will come from your spirit, out through your mouth, and minister to the person. But if it's valid, it will start with the Lord or our Heavenly Father, to the Holy Spirit, to our spirits, and then our spirit, the Holy Spirit will speak to our spirit to speak this out, this word. It will just be supernatural words, all right? He says, "He shall receive of Mine," the Holy Spirit will, verse 14, "and show it unto you." Now listen to this. "All things that the Father has are Mine." So Jesus said, "He shall receive of Mine and show it unto you." And then He goes a step further and says, "All things that the Father has are Mine." That means the Holy Spirit has access to all things that the Father knows and all things that Jesus knows. Now that doesn't mean He's going to show it all to us. It just means that the Holy Spirit has access to all of this. All right? "Therefore," said I, "He shall take of Mine and show it unto you." Now that doesn't mean He's going to show you everything. It simply means everything. There is no limit to what the Holy Spirit might do and could do through you. I mean, anything in the mind of God or the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is fair game for the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom. And it could come through you. What I'm trying to establish here is the fact that everything, anything is possible the Lord might use us for in this ministry. Because there's nothing that He could not tell us if he wanted to. I mean, that's obvious, I think. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit has access to all this stuff, and He will show these things to us on occasion. Through the word of knowledge, for example, and the word of wisdom. All right. Now, it's not natural knowledge. This is where some people have gotten messed up. They've tried to use these gifts of the Spirit and try to figure out, like in a church, maybe they have a little program trying to find out where you fit in the church or what your gift is or something like that. And it gets all mixed up because they're trying to mix the gifts of the Spirit in with a person's natural inherent abilities, which are two different things. You know, you might be a good natural teacher in school because you're a school teacher. That doesn't mean you'd make a great teacher of the Word of God, because that's a supernatural manifestation. There's a difference between the natural and the supernatural. And people get mixed up in this. They try to sit back and say, well, this gift means this. And I can see that in you, in your personality. It has nothing to do with personality. This is a supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God at a specific time of something the Lord wants the person over here to know, but He does it through you and through these gifts. This has nothing to do with brain power, has nothing to do with what you've learned, has nothing to do with how much you've studied the Bible or anything. He could take somebody that's never studied the Bible and use them in this gift. All right? And so it has nothing to do with your inherent abilities or things that we all know that we're born with, that certain people are just out of their womb. They have certain gifts, artistic maybe, or musical gift, or a gift for organization that's not supernatural. That's just, it's supernatural maybe in the sense that God gave it to you when you were born, okay? But it's not something that's manifested as a revelation from God that you'd have no other way of knowing about a person, place, or thing. You know? Like the Holy Spirit would say, I want you to minister to that person. They lost a child years ago, and they've been depressed. They've not forgiven themselves. They thought it was their fault, and blah, 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 whatever. Tell them right now that I love them. Tell them that it's not their fault, that they need to forgive them. Whatever it might be, supernatural. You tell you a thing about that person, and the fact that you're telling them something that you have no way of knowing helps cement into them, this is God telling me what to do. But this has, nothing to do with your natural abilities at all. So it's different than that. And that's why sometimes we get messed up in these things. We're trying to say, well, you seem to know a lot of things. You probably have the gift of, they call it wisdom. It's the word of wisdom. It's not the gift of wisdom or the gift of knowledge. It's the word of knowledge. Simply meaning it's a word coming from the Holy Spirit or several words about this particular person, place, or thing. Okay, and you see the difference there? There's a lot of confusion on this, and I wanted to try to clear it up. Now, let's look at some examples in the Bible of the word of knowledge now. Turn to John chapter 4. We're already in John chapter 15. Just turn back a few pages, and we'll go to a thing that we studied in depth a few weeks ago when we were talking about, in our other lesson series on getting someone saved, when we talked about the woman, Jesus and the woman at the well. Remember that? Well, do you remember in this, you remember that? Okay. Do you remember in this course of conversation, Jesus used the word of knowledge. Now, I'll just take you right to that so we don't spend time with the whole thing here. But He's talking to this woman, and He's talking to her about this living water He's going to give her. And they get to talking a little bit, and she says, the woman said to her, Sir, give me this water, verse 15, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus said unto her, go call your husband and have him come too. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And this is where the word of knowledge comes in. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, thou hast no husband. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that said you truly. Now, how did Jesus know this? This is an example of the word of knowledge, because it gave the Father God, or the Holy Spirit, the Father God through the Holy Spirit gave to Jesus. Now remember, Jesus, when He came to this earth, gave up all His godly powers so that He could show us how we were to live on this earth. Philippians 2 tells about that. And so it says the works that he did, we can do also. So he's showing us how he ministered on earth, so we'd know how to minister on the earth as well. Now, we're not going to minister in the same degree Jesus did, but the body of Christ together will. All of us together, all right? I mean, nobody's ever going to have the ministry that Jesus had. But they will do some of the same things that he did, but in different... In other words, nobody's ever going to be lifted up to the level of Jesus working, the number of miracles he did, and the variety of ministries he had. But the body of Christ together will do all of those things. Okay. Now, so Jesus said something very interesting here. He said, number one, you had five husbands. That's a word of knowledge. It's about something in the past. It's a supernatural revelation of some facts in the mind of God concerning the past. You had five husbands. And then he says, and the guy that you're living with right now isn't your husband. That said you truly. That would be also a word of wisdom, because it's also a fact in the mind of God concerning a present condition in that woman's life. Now, they're not just events, they're conditions, usually, in a person's life that you're ministering to, that the Lord wants to show, and to show in such a way that they know there's no other way you could have known this. And they really focus in on what you're saying and what you say to do, you know, so they can profit. So here is an example, a really good example, I think, of the word of knowledge in operation. Now, normally, when you say Jesus, everybody goes, well, that was Jesus. But see, we got to understand that these are examples for ourselves. And we'll show some other people that aren't Jesus in a minute, too, that had word of knowledge. Now turn just one page, and we'll see another example, John chapter 5, of the word of knowledge in Jesus' ministry. This now is the man at the pool of Bethesda. And I'll just read this, chapter 5. Verse 3, there was a great multitude of infinite folk lying there by this pool, Bethesda. Some were blind, some were halt, couldn't walk, some were withered, they were all waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Now here's an example of the word of knowledge. It says Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he had been a long time in this particular situation. There's no other way. He'd never met this man. He just came there and knew that this man had been that way a long time. That would be an example of something in the past, a fact in the mind of God concerning the past. He got that by the word of knowledge. Okay? There's no other way he could have known that. He knew. It doesn't say anybody told him here. He says, wilt thou be made whole? And the man says, I don't have anybody to put me in the water when it's troubled. But when I'm coming down, another steps in before me. And that man gets healed. That's an example also of the gifts of healing. There's another example here. When we get to the gifts of healing, we'll talk about that in a little more detail. See, the gifts of healing are, just really quickly, healing when there's no particular faith exhibited on the person's part. That God just decides supernaturally, I'm going to heal that person right now at this place and time. And too many times, people are waiting on this gift to happen in their life without using their own faith, and it never happens. See, this is as the Spirit wills. He always wills that you get healed, just by not by this method all the time. In fact, this method is usually, the gifts of healing, is someone that's not a Christian who doesn't have a right to healing, covenant rights, and God uses it as a sign gift to make other people come to the Lord. You see, a lot of evangelists see this gift in their ministry in foreign countries. Yes, Steve?
Is this also an example of word of wisdom on Jesus' part, that the plan of God to heal this man for a sign? That, you know, out of all the people that are there...
Yes. I mean, before he even got there, there might have been something like that. The father might have said the reason he was there. That could be, very well. Could have been a word of wisdom Jesus got that we aren't privy to here, that said, son, I want you to go over here to the Bethesda, to the sheep market pool, and there's a man there, and when you get close to him, I'll tell you which one it is, and I'm going to heal him. Yes, that would be something in the divine purpose and plan of God concerning something in the future. Yeah. That would be a word of wisdom. Okay. Correct. Although it doesn't say that happened here, that would be if that happened. Now, here's another example. Remember, he sees this man later in verse 14. Jesus found this man in the temple and said to him, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come on thee." See, Jesus had no way of knowing that the reason that man was in that condition in the first place is because of some sin he committed. See, sin no more, lest something worse happen to you. See, he knew that. How would Jesus know that? See, that's something in the past that caused this man to be sick in the first place. Now, we don't jump to the conclusion that every time you're sick, you must have committed some sin. That's not what we're saying at all. But in this particular case, evidently it was. Because Jesus said, sin no more. No more, that means don't do it again. You know, don't, lest something worse happens to you. Why? Because, not because God made the guy sick, but because when we've had this lesson, when we sin, we take ourselves out of the protection of God and place ourselves in an area where the enemy can get at us. It says, give no place to the devil. Don't do that. And it says, if we'll keep ourselves, the wicked one touches us not. And in 1 John 5:18, where it says that, it's talking about sin. One of the ways you keep yourself is immediately repent. Be quick to repent. Is everybody clear on that? We've had that lesson before. So Jesus has another word of knowledge here, that the reason the man was sick in the first place was because he sinned. Okay? He says, don't do that. Don't do that anymore. Unless next time it might be something worse come on you. So that was a word of knowledge. It was something in the fact, in the mind of God, concerning something in the present, in the past. This is what caused this. So, an example of the word of knowledge. Now turn in your Bibles to, you'll see another example in the Old Testament. Now some of these gifts, the only gifts that weren't example in the Old Testament were the gift of divers tongues and interpretation of tongues. That's a New Testament gift. But all the rest of the gifts of the Spirit were in manifestation as well in the Old Testament. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 6. Verse 21. I wonder I couldn't find it at 6. Verse 21. Now this is the story of the prophet Elisha speaking to through Gehazi to Naaman the prophet, and when Naaman got healed, dipping 7 times in the Jordan. Everybody familiar with that story? Okay, well that all took place, and that's not the subject of our lesson, so we'll skip down beyond that. Now this is after the healing took place. Naaman is so grateful, and he wants to give Elisha a lot of gifts that he brought with him because he's so grateful for what's happened. And in verse 15, this covers this. And he tried to give him these gifts, it says. In verse 16 it says, "As the Lord liveth," Elisha said, "before whom I stand, I will receive none." And he urged him to take it still, but Elisha still refused. Elisha would not take the gifts for healing the man. In other words, there's a whole lesson in that, really. There should never be a price paid for healing. It never should be connected with money. I mean, if you ever hear anything where somebody says, you know, give unto my ministry, and if you haven't been healed before, the Lord will bless you more. In our ministry, the people that give financially have a very, very high rate of getting healed. That's wrong. You should never tie money to getting healed. And right here, Elisha says, no, I won't take anything for it. But Gehazi is going, whoa, here's an opportunity to get something, and Master won't take it. Gehazi, in verse 20, let's get down to verse 21. Gehazi followed after Naaman left, the servant of Elisha. Everybody with me now? Elisha's turned this gift down, but Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from his chariot to meet him. He says, "Is everything okay?" And he said, "All is well. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now there be some to come to me from Mount Ephraim, 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments." In other words, he's saying, yeah, I didn't want anything for myself, but since I've got these visitors, I'll give them some. Gehazi saying that Elisha said that, which he didn't. And Naaman said, well, sure, be content. Take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments and laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bore them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, where have you been, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went nowhere. And he said unto him, went not thine mine heart with thee? Went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto you. Ouch. And he became a leper as white as the snow. Now, how did Elisha know what Naaman gave Gehazi? When he said, I went with you, he says, my spirit. He didn't actually go with him, did he?
No.
Elisha. But sometimes, that's a good emphasis there. Sometimes in the word of knowledge, the Lord actually shows you a little mini vision yourself of something that's happened in the past or in the present. Like just a little vision of Gehazi running up to the guy and them talking together and him receiving that thing. And then that's what he means, did not my spirit go with you? He saw everything that happened. A word of knowledge doesn't have to just be words coming to you. It can be a vision as well. A word of knowledge through a vision. You understand that? A word of knowledge through a vision, that happens sometimes. That's one of the ways we covered earlier. The word of knowledge might be manifested through a word, prophecy-like, a vision, an angel, or even a dream. So in this case, it sounded like it was a little vision that Elisha had. Did not my spirit go with you? In other words, I saw you there taking this thing. Now, since it was a certain fact in the mind of God, see, Elisha couldn't have done this on his own. There's no way he could have done this. It had to be a manifestation of the Spirit of God concerning certain facts that God knew about that he wanted Elisha to know. He wanted Elisha to know so that he could correct Gehazi and not take money for a free healing. God's healings are always free. So here's another example of the word of knowledge, simply because it concerns the past or the present. Yes?
Was it you that said if you have a dream and you wake and you don't know what it was about, forget it?
Right.
But if you did know, it could be...
You might still want to forget it. But, I mean, you know, very seldom is it actually a word from the Lord. I mean, just because you can remember a dream really clearly does not also necessarily mean it's from God either.
Yeah.
Okay. But sometimes, it will. I think at all the times since I've been a Christian, I can think of a couple of times through dreams where the Lord has shown me something very definitely. And I knew at the time because it happened exactly the way the Lord showed me. Exactly. And I'll share that next week under the word of wisdom.
Okay.
Yeah. And it'll be clear. But I've had dreams that I've not remembered at all, and I've had dreams that I really remembered, and none of them was from the Lord. It was just a dream I really remembered for whatever reason. So, you know, we don't want to make this any more... you know, I've been in groups where they've made these things sound like almost every dream that you remember is of the Lord, and that's not true. You'll know when it's from the Lord. Okay, you'll know, because your spirit will prompt you. Now that was of me, and it will just give you a certain, it'll keep coming up, keep coming up, keep coming up inside. If it happens that way, then you might want to consider it, but normally not. All right, turn the page to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Kings chapter 6, and we'll look at verse 8 through 12. Here's another example of the word of knowledge. This is kind of an interesting one. Verse 8, then the king of Syria, this is the bad king, warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. In other words, he's having a meeting with his generals and servants and stuff, and they're warring against Israel, and he's telling his own people, now this is where we're going to put up our camp, our military camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, now this is the king of Israel, not the same king. A man of God came to the king of Israel, the one they're fighting against, and said, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. In other words, he revealed where the Syrians were going to be, where they were just talking about it among themselves. This is where we're going to hide now, and we're going to lay in wait for the Israelites here. But then the guy, the prophet from Israel, came up to his king and says, this is where they're going to be. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him about and warned him of and saved himself there, not once, nor even twice. In other words, this happened again and again. Every time the king of Syria would have a meeting and say, now this time we're going to wait for them here, and they won't know about that. Sure enough, there they were waiting for them. Their ambush turned into an ambush against them. And so it happened over and over. It says, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was very troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, are you going to show me which of us is for the king of Israel? In other words, we got a spy in our midst, is what he's saying here. And one of his servants said, none of us, my lord, O king, but it's Elisha the prophet that's in Israel, that's telling the king of Israel the words that you're speaking right here in your bedchamber. But the word of knowledge was coming to Elisha from God about certain facts in the mind of God. See, God sees everything. And he's seeing this thing over here, and he's seeing these Israelites who he's trying to protect, and he's saying to this prophet, go tell those guys, that's where those guys are over there. Wouldn't that drive you crazy? You're trying to have a war? You know, I'm sure this still happens today. We don't have the Bible still being written to tell us about it, but I'm sure if you went over in Iraq and talked about some of these guys over there, there would be really things that they'd save them from ambushes and stuff like that. The Lord still does these things.
Yes.
As he needs to. So here's another example of the word of knowledge. Now turn to Acts chapter 9. And we'll look at another one. I think if we look at more and more of these, it kind of cements into our hearts what the word of knowledge is. It's simply just certain facts in the mind of God concerning the past or the present. Something needed to minister in this particular situation. All right, Acts chapter 9, verses 10 and 11. I like this verse being in the Bible because these verses show us you don't have to be a king, you don't have to be a prophet like Elisha, you don't have to be Jesus, you could just be a layman, like our friend Ananias here. That's all he was just a guy, just like we are. And the Lord manifested a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge through Ananias. Let's talk about the word of knowledge first. In verse 10, now this is after Saul has had his vision with Jesus, and Jesus has confronted him on his trip to Damascus in the first few verses of this chapter. And it says in verse 10, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision. Now this came by a vision. Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. All right? Right here is an example, both of the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. First thing he says is a word of wisdom. He says, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. In other words, he's telling him, when you do this in the future, it hasn't happened yet, and you go there, this place that I'm telling you about, Saul of Tarsus will be there. That's a certain revelation of the Spirit of God, of the divine purpose and plan of God in the future, something he wants to do. But then he gives him a word of knowledge. And he said, right now, one called Saul of Tarsus is praying. And he said, he has seen in a vision, you come in and do this. So this is something that's already happened. And he's giving a word of knowledge to Ananias about something that's happened in Saul's life. He's also giving a word of wisdom about what he wants him to do now in the future. All right? And he's telling them right now, he has seen Ananias, you, coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. So when Ananias comes in and lays his hand on him, Paul in the spirit, or Saul, has already knows about this on the other end too. So can you see what how this was a word of knowledge? This came through a vision. No, nevertheless, it was a word of knowledge. It told Ananias something he had no way of knowing on his own. It wasn't because he studied the Bible a lot. It wasn't because he was a brilliant man, like we get confused sometimes, but it was just as the Spirit wills at a certain particular point in that man's life, something in the mind of God, a fact in the mind of God that he wanted to minister through this man to profit Saul of Tarsus. It was a word of knowledge and also a word of wisdom here. Sometimes they go together. You might get both. Now, next week I'll explain this dream I got. Well, there was both in that. And which was which. Okay. All right, now turn the next page to Acts chapter 10. And we'll see a word of knowledge coming to Peter up on the housetop. Now, you remember Peter's praying on the housetop. The Lord shows him a vision. And it shows him this cloth that comes down. It shows animals in it and all kinds of animals. And he says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Is it not so, Lord, for I've never touched anything unclean." All that takes place, and that's not what we're going to talk about. But this is the setting. "This was done thrice, and then the vessel was received up into heaven." Verse 16. Now, verse 17 in Acts chapter 10. "Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate." I remember earlier in this chapter, there was a man named Cornelius who had also had an experience with God, and he had sent men on God's orders to get Peter to come to his house. All right? Peter doesn't know anything about this yet. Verse 18, he's going to start finding out. In verse 18, "And these people are at the gate, and they asked the person that answered the gate whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision he just had, didn't know these people were down here, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee." That's a word of knowledge. That concerns a certain fact that God knows about, Peter didn't know about, that's happening right now in the present. Three men are seeking you down below. Now, it doesn't end there. He says, "Arise, therefore, and get thee down." Now, here becomes a little bit of the word of wisdom. "And go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." In other words, he's telling them a little bit of the plan and purpose of God here. I want you to, when they come, I want you to go with them. Otherwise, if somebody just showed up and asked you to travel several miles to go somewhere, you might be a little hesitant. Well, maybe, I don't know, I've got some other things I'm doing here. I'm ministering here. I've got to speak tonight. I've got another thing. I've told people I'll be there tomorrow in the synagogue tomorrow night. Can't make it. The Lord's saying, make it. You know?
Wasn't Cornelius a Gentile?
Yes, he was.
So
that's another thing.
Uh-huh.
That's a very good point, Steve. He would normally have not have gone because he's amazed the next day when he goes to see the Holy Spirit poured out upon the Gentiles.
Right.
That's a very good point. And so the Lord had to show him in a way that he knew beyond a doubt that this was God speaking to him. And how else would he have known those men were down there? He wouldn't have known. He said, "There's people down there right now. I want you to go with them. Cut your engagements, clear up your schedule for tomorrow, and go." And normally we get, you know, pretty tied into what we got to do. "Well, I can't go tomorrow. I've got to work. I've got to do this. I've got to do that," I think. So the Lord sometimes has to speak to us very clearly and very, "No, tomorrow." I mean, if the Lord spoke to you in an audible voice, or however he did it here, and said, "Tomorrow, there's somebody, no, you're in here working around," he says, "there's somebody coming to your door right now. When they come, they're going to ask you to go somewhere. I want you to go with them." You go, "What? Was that God? Knock, 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 knock." Me, I guess it was, you know. And we want you to go with us. So then you'd go, wouldn't you? You'd cancel your appointments and everything. See, that's why the Lord has to use these things sometimes, is to get through our normal, "Nah, I can't make it. I got other things I have to do." Well, anyway, I think you get the idea. I'm not going to go through Revelations chapter 2 and 3 because it's a long thing. You can read it on your own if you like to. And that's some more examples of the word of knowledge coming through the Apostle John. So really that just completes what I wanted to talk about in the Word of Knowledge tonight. Does anybody have any questions about it or anything like that before we go on? Well, let's just pray. Father, thank you so much for teaching us what you have. I think we've covered enough about it tonight, about the Word of Knowledge, Father, and how it some examples from your Word. Thank you, Father, for showing us these things You said in your word, Father, you didn't want us ignorant about these things, Father, and we're doing the best we can to learn from you about what these gifts are and how they manifest in our lives, so that when they do happen, we'll recognize them for what they are, Father. So, Father, thank you for your word tonight, and thank you for blessing us, and thank you for just being our Father and blessing us so wonderfully in all the ways you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained.
Okay, let's go over our homework for lesson number 94. We're on the revelation gifts, and we discussed last the word of knowledge. So we're going to go over the homework for the word of knowledge now. First of all, let's just briefly review what the word of knowledge is. The word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit of certain facts in the mind of God concerning the past or present, and it's manifested as the Spirit wills, whereas the word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit of the divine purpose and plan of God concerning the future, and it's also manifested as the Spirit wills. So first, let's take a look at the homework for lesson 94 on the word of knowledge. True or false? The word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit of the divine purpose and plan of God concerning the future. True or false? That is false, because we just talked about the fact that it's a revelation of a certain fact in the mind of God, certain fact or facts in the mind of God concerning the past or present, not the future. So that would be false. True or false? When the Holy Spirit manifests the word of knowledge, he will reveal all there is to know about the situation. Is that true or false? Well, that's false too, because as we said, it's a word of knowledge. It isn't all the knowledge about the situation. It's just a word or a fragmentary part. It's what we need to know at that particular time from the Lord. It doesn't tell us all there is to know about it. It's just a fragmentary part. Hence, he calls it a word of knowledge. Next question, true or false? The purpose of the gifts of the Spirit is to profit God. Well, we know that's false, right? Because we read back in 1 Corinthians, let's see, chapter 12, I'll just read it, verse 7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit, talking about the gifts of the Spirit, is given to every man to profit withal. In other words, it's for us, every man, to profit, not God, of course. That's what the gifts of the Spirit are for. God doesn't need these gifts. He's got all knowledge. He's got all wisdom. He certainly doesn't need them, but it's for us. So that would be false as well. Excuse me. The Holy Spirit shall blank us all things. He shall bring all things to our blank. He shall blank us into all blank. He will blank us things to blank. There's a lot of blanks there. And then I gave you some scriptural references, John 14:26 and John 16:13. He answered that question. Well, let's just answer the question. The Holy Spirit shall what? Us all things. What does the Bible tell us? The Holy Spirit shall teach us all things. That goes in the first blank. Teach. He shall bring all things to our what? Remembrance. Bring all things to our remembrance. He won't bring things that in this regard that you don't already know. He'll just bring them back to your memory at a particular time when you need to know these things. That's why it's so important to get into the Word of God, so that we can have these things in there so he can bring them back when he needs to. He shall blank us into all blank. He shall lead us into all truth. The Holy Spirit will never lead you into anything that's false. One wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit is everything he leads us into is truth. Unlike the world. Boy, that's a wonderful benefit, isn't it? Lead us into all truth. Never a lie. Never deception. Always truth. He will blank us things to blank. He will show us things to come. Okay, next question. When God shows us things to come, that's the word of knowledge in operation. True or false? Well, just go back to our definition of what the word of knowledge is. Is that what it is? Showing us things to come in the future? No. That's the word of wisdom. The word of knowledge are certain facts already in the mind of God about the present or the past. It's not the future. So this would be false. True or false? The Holy Spirit has access to all that Jesus and the Father know. true or false? Well, that's true. We know that from our scripture in John chapter 16. The Holy Spirit has access to everything that Jesus knows and everything the Father knows. So that would be true. Well, we could just look back at that scripture. I think it might be a good idea just to kind of nail that down. John chapter 16, and it says, verse 13, "Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak." Then we'll go on. "And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, said I, he shall take of mine and show it unto you." So then all the things that Jesus has, all the things that the Father has, are potential things that the Holy Spirit can show us, because the Holy Spirit has access to all things of the Father and all things of Jesus. And since the Holy Spirit lives in our spirit, we have potential access to all of these things. Well, it is true then, the Holy Spirit has access to all that Jesus and the Father know. Therefore, next question, since the Holy Spirit lives in us, we, as the body of Christ, have potential access to things that the Father and Jesus know. That's true. And the gifts of the Spirit are one avenue by which we have access to these things, specifically the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. True or false? The word of knowledge always comes from the Holy Spirit via the still small voice. That is false. There are many ways the word of knowledge can come, but it isn't via the still small voice. That's another avenue the Holy Spirit has to communicate with us in personal guidance. The inner witness, the still small voice, things like that. But as far as the word of knowledge is concerned, or the word of wisdom, it comes through, we discussed this in our lesson, prophecy, sometimes a vision, sometimes a dream, sometimes even an angel. So those are the avenues the word of knowledge in the Bible always comes from. Okay. Let's see now. The next question. When I study the Bible and obtain knowledge of what it says, it is a form of the word of knowledge, true or false? Well, that's certainly false, because first of all, in our definition of what the word of knowledge is, it's supernatural. It wouldn't be supernatural if we would just study the Bible and obtain some knowledge. That would not be supernatural. That would be something that we gain through studying the Bible, which is good to do. The Bible says to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So we are to study the Bible. It's just that that's not what the word of knowledge is. Also, it doesn't fulfill the other part of our definition, where it's as the Spirit wills, not man. When we study the Bible, it's as we will. We do it when we want to, whenever we want to. But when the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom or the rest of the gifts of the Spirit are manifested, it's not as we will, it's as the Spirit wills, when he desires to do it. So for these two reasons, it's not supernatural when we study the Bible, and it's as we will and not the Spirit. That question is false. True or false? When God told Ananias in Acts 9:15-16 that Saul would bear Jesus' name to the Gentiles, to the kings and the children of Israel, and that Saul would suffer great things for his name's sake, that was the word of knowledge in operation. True or false? Well, again, go back to what is our definition of the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is something in the present or past. Since this is in the future, it would not be the word of knowledge. Notice that it says Saul would bear. He hasn't borne Jesus' name to the Gentiles yet, but he will do it. And again, it says that Saul would suffer great things for his name's sake. He hasn't yet, but he will in the future. So that's not the word of knowledge in operation. That is the word of wisdom, simply because it predicts things in the future. So that's false. Next question. When Jesus told the woman at the well she had five husbands, and the one she was living with now was not her husband, that was the word of knowledge in operation. True or false? Well, that one's true, because it's in the past and in the present. It's a supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit of certain facts in the mind of God concerning the past or present. And this fulfills that definition, because it says she had five husbands. Jesus told the woman at the well supernaturally. He had no other way of knowing this except by the word of knowledge that she had had five husbands. And the one she was living with now was not her husband. So it's talking about the past, having five husbands, and the one she had now, present, is not her husband. Therefore, this is the word of knowledge in operation, and it is true. In Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, when Peter knew that Ananias and Sapphira had kept back part of the price of the land for themselves, this was the word of knowledge in operation, true or false. Again, this is true, simply because it says, when Peter knew that Ananias and Sapphira had kept back. See, that was in the past, what they did in the past. He received a supernatural revelation of something that happened in the past. Maybe the recent past, but it's still the past. And so that is the word of knowledge. It fulfills our definition. And it was supernatural. Peter had no way of knowing this outside of a supernatural revelation from the Spirit of God. Next question. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 20, when Samuel told Saul that the lost donkeys, the donkeys that were lost, were found, this was the word of knowledge in operation. That's true. See, when those donkeys were lost and Saul was looking for them, Samuel told him that the donkeys were already found and had already returned home, and he needn't search any further. So that was something that happened in the past that Samuel had no way of knowing except from a supernatural revelation with the Spirit of God. So that is the word of knowledge by our definition. So that's true. True or false? In Acts chapter 11, verse 28, when Agabus was told by the Holy Spirit about the coming famine, and then he told others, this was the word of knowledge in operation. True or false? This is false, simply because it hasn't happened yet. He's predicting something that's going to happen in the future. And our definition of the word of knowledge is something in the present or the past, supernaturally revealed by the Holy Spirit. This is a supernatural revelation, all right, but it's in the future. So that would be the word of wisdom, not the word of knowledge. So that question then is false. True or false? Elisha knew that Gehazi had received the money and clothing from Naaman because of the word of knowledge. True or false? Now let's figure this out. What is the word of knowledge? It's something supernaturally revealed. Well, Elisha must have had it supernaturally revealed because he had no other way. He wasn't with Gehazi when he received the money and the clothing. So that fulfills that part of our definition of the word of knowledge. Now the second part of our definition of the word of knowledge is that it has to be in the present or the past. Well, since he'd already received it, wasn't in the future, it's in the past. And therefore, it is the word of knowledge. So that question is true. And finally, one more question. I have marked bonus. So when I do that, it usually takes a little more thought or a little closer reading. So let's take a look at this question. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 12, Elijah knew what the Syrian king was saying to his servants about where he was placing his troops because of the word of knowledge. Now, if you go back and read that passage, the prophet is telling the king of Israel all that the Syrian king is saying to his troops and his servants about where they're going to be placing their troops. And so, from that standpoint, it would be the word of knowledge. The only thing is, the trick is, that I put Elijah, and the prophet was really Elisha. So, that's kind of a minor point, but I just wanted to see how closely you were reading that. And so that would be false, not because it wasn't the word of knowledge, but because it was Elisha, not Elijah. Well, that completes our homework for lesson 94 on the word of knowledge.